outcome score reflecting two outcomes. And at the bottom there, we sort of explain those outcomes that are informed by the constitution. At the bottom, we do say that we would develop two indices, the one that measure accountability and public involvement. And when members said the models like the public participation model has now been approved by members, we will have to go and revisit and see what does it mean in terms of how we're going to establish indices to measure the impact that Parliament has with respect to accountability and public involvement. In addition to that, what we have done, again, is we have established relationships with the HSRC, SSA, and we're also exploring on some of the indices that are used by the UNDP to try and formulate an index. And we see this as a long-term project, and the research unit working with committees, colleagues in CORE are going to be working with DataSet, and SSA has actually agreed to work with us free of charge. One of the things we're going to be working around is possibly Parliament evolving, like we've seen in many parliaments. Parliament is evolving some indicators that will be set to measure accountability and the extent to which people say they actually are participating in the work of Parliament, and the Parliament does exercise oversight over the executive. So we hope that we will have a developed index quite maybe the end of next year. In the interim, the third and the fourth reports, I would like members to Chairperson that we will just be reporting narratively. So we will not be giving a graph or a bar chart. It will be a narrative report on how far we've gone. And then, of course, we know that we can't develop the indices without the involvement and guidance of the members. Change number two, the next slide. It's also on page 47, which is Annexure A of the big document. There we had put together a strategic objective 1.8, which talked about efficiencies. Initially, when we conceptualized it, we were thinking that we would work towards developing efficiencies within Parliament with a view to save 1% of our baseline budget so that we can redirect this budget into other high-impact programs of Parliament. In light of the reduced budgets, what we have done is we want to focus largely on how we don't measure cost savings by necessarily measuring monetary, but looking at the efficiencies and also the usage of some of the tools that we have, like my Parliament and cutting down on printing. However, part of what we have to do is really change the way in which we do business. The more time you have in spending documents that have to be signed by 10 people, the less time you use, the more you have signatures, the less time you actually save. So we thought if the institution is more efficient, there can be hours that are saved in terms of work. And we thought we shouldn't just reduce it to just a monetary reduction, just the efficiency of systems will assist us. The next one is change number three. It's on strategic objective 2.1. Instead of reducing the average turnaround time for provision of procedural advice, content advice, research products, all those areas, we've decided that each division will have a service charter, so that the work and the services towards members is predictable. So if a member requests a document, research should say the member will receive it in 5 hours or 3 hours, and it's predictable. And instead of just doing individual turnaround times, we will develop a service charter which is integrated, and in it we will put a composite percentage. So we have decided that this could read and should read, and it makes sense that we improve the timelines and quality of advisory and information services and products from 93% to 95%, because that can be measurable, and it will link back to the client satisfaction questionnaire and survey that we're conducting, which will be a base for Parliament going forward. And in it, we can then begin to assess the usefulness of information that members receive. I know that at some stage members did ask us that we chase after turnaround time of 2 days, but we don't assess the value and the usefulness of the services that we provide. We are aware that some of the areas we may not succeed, particularly areas wherein there's levels of pressure and subjectivity. And this doesn't mean increasing warm bodies. What it means is using time efficiently and ensuring that the ICT systems that we have do work. Because as far as we're concerned, we also think we are underutilizing the My Parliament app. And that's an area where we could start. And that, as that, the new APP has a new strategic objective reading like that. And what we've also tried to do is distinguish from input to really elevate our strategies so that they're at an output level, or at an outcomes level, if I were to say. There we do have a single composite index where we have indicated that we will measure between 93 and 95. Why 93 and 95? It's because there's already a baseline. Core services have got a charter. They've got charters, but the charters are all over the place, and we're consolidating them into one service charter. The next change that we have, honourable members, is on strategic objective 3.2, enhance parliamentary international engagements by increasing the percentage of reports on parliamentary international relations engagements. It is also an objective that is in two ways has to be driven largely by members. We think it has an outcome goal, and it must not sit in the APP. More so that a simple example is if Parliament doesn't monitor the agreements, ensure that in fact they evolved and they pass through Parliament. Example would be when we were speaking with the executive authority. Our executive authority was saying a lot of reports, and in this case, the report on the status of women in South Africa is always presented by the executive, and Parliament has never had sight of it, and there used to be a country report that discussed in Parliament before it goes to those platforms, and therefore there's very little engagement of Parliament, members of Parliament, in all the agreements that the country is committed through by the executive. So it's going to be important that we, at a strategic level, Parliament has to play that role. And the level of engagement and also the level of considering these reports would be treated as an objective at an outcomes goal. And this, obviously, is part of what will be in the core service charter. That's the amendment. The other amendment of the strategy is 1.6. I'll move very quickly on that. On the usage of facilities that provide adequate and appropriate functional space by creating conducive working environment to achieve an increased level of satisfaction. We have a baseline at 68%. Initially, we had put it at 85%. I may share with members why it will look like we revised it downwards. Initially, there was a change of methodology, and also because of budget constraints, we used our internal resources to conduct the survey, and the sample size, the responses were quite low, and we are sitting at 65. In our APP, we had put it at 85. We've revised it down to 80, because currently our baseline is 68. And then, of course, we have the survey that we're conducting. We're also introducing an instant response that we hope with time it will be integrated in the system of Parliament, where satisfaction levels range from the cleanliness of the room, the speed at which members receive their refunds, the speed at which you receive your documents, the speed at which you receive food in the canteen for that matter, and also the quality of our environment. That's what we have revised. And then the strategic objective 4.2, reducing average turnaround time for the processing of payments of reimbursement. We've spoken about that already. I will not repeat it. We've revised that strategic objective to read revised average turnaround time for the processing of payment of reimbursement to members from 3 days to 2.5 working days. Obviously, it's got an interdependency, and that's got to do with the human element, and we have actually spoken about it earlier on. Although in that space, Honourable Member Chair, we have actually tried to automate certain parts of claims, and this year into the next financial year, we are also going to expand that to try and establish a seamless way of receiving providing services to members, as well as get to a point where members can actually upload their claims wherever they are. So it's baby steps, and we think we're going the right direction. Generally, the main changes, this is my last slide, the next one. Is that? Yeah. The main changes are included in the 2018 budget, and there is a result of it. And we've done a situation analysis that updates where we are at as Parliament. We've tried to changes of objectives and indicators and targets, and removed cost savings as a target, as a summary. We've revised the models so that they become outcome indicators. We've also consolidated the service charters so that there's a single indicator. And then we've lowered targets in objectives 1.6 and 4.2 for the reasons that have been articulated in the presentation. Chairpersons, co-chairpersons, I think this is the end of my presentation. The gist of the strategy has not changed, and we have actually looked at the fact that are we undercutting ourselves or are we presenting mediocrity? We, on the guidance of the executive authority whom we had a workshop with, we did test the fact that we're not necessarily dumping down or reducing standards. We're just consolidating what would have been the first ever five-year strategy of a parliament. Thank you very much, Co-Chair.
So target 4.2 for reasons, is it higher or lower now?
From 3 days.
Is it higher or lower?
Okay,
it's an improvement. Okay. Okay.
From 3 to 2.5 working days, it's lower. It's improved.
Okay.
It's closer to zero.
Okay.
That's the only way I can work it out.
Okay, no, that's fine. Okay, no, that's fine.
No, so maybe you should allow members. I want to also pose questions, and I don't want to be up.
Okay, no.
I'll be the last one after members of
House. No, okay. Honourable Stian Hizum.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just a few things. I like the baby steps. I think baby steps are good for Parliament. So it's very good. Just in terms of five, I would agree with you, and I think that one of the challenges we're having, and particularly going abroad to international conferences, it makes it very difficult. We don't have at least some direction or a resolution of Parliament to be able to go into international fora and debate. And so I think that the Chief Whips are going in January to go and investigate how we can use mini plenaries. Because I think that the problem is that while we're not debating enough international agreements or certainly engaging with them, is that the parliamentary program is just so congested. So hopefully the mini plenaries will be factored in as a forum where we can maybe start debating some of our interactions, reports, treaties, etc. in that environment. So you might want to factor that into the planning going forward, because I think that would be positive. Just in terms of item six, the usage of facilities, etc., it just leads me to ask about Fernwood. I just think that we're under so much pressure for space here. We have that facility there. I think if there was a bit of money spent on fixing it up, it could be a decentralized meeting point for committees even. So on a committee day, some committees could go there. There's plenty of space, etc. I know there's some issues around, who it belongs to, etc. But it just seems to be a facility that we have that's completely underutilized. And I wondered if we couldn't look at maximizing it, particularly because I see a lot of the committees go across the road to the Townhouse Hotel. And I know that must be quite expensive in the longer term, and particularly as we have these budget constraints, whether we couldn't squeeze some money out of public works to work at Fernwood and use that facility. The third point I want to make is probably a bit more complex, and I'm not sure whether you'll be able to answer it, but the high-level panel is going to be released shortly. I imagine it's going to highlight a number of shortcomings of Parliament's work and probably make some suggestions about how we measure the impact of the work that we're doing here in Parliament, particularly post the legislative adoption, or the effect of the work that we're doing, and how we monitor it. And so I imagine that what might have to happen is that we're going to have to look at how we, as Parliament, internalise that report and then use the findings and recommendations to improve the work that we do. And so I think my question to you is, would it be factored in this annual performance plan, or would we only start looking at how we incorporate the high-level panel's findings and recommendations in the next performance plan? Because what I hate to see happen is what happened to the Corder report and various other reports that make recommendations on where we're not meeting expectations and how we can fix it. And those reports lie for years after actually being implemented in a meaningful way. So I would like to see the findings of the high-level panel particularly, as well as the report that will come, I'm sure, about the OISDs and the consolidation of into the performance plan and how we would best plug that in. So I don't know if you had thoughts on that and if you would take us into your confidence.
Thank you very much. Just talking about the future, which Honourable Sen is talking about. One of the mornings, Tuesday morning, I attended a very interesting briefing session that took place, or interaction that took place between academics, NGOs, and the presiding officers. That was the delayed start one, Honourable Sen knows. But the chairperson and I were there, Smith. And there were many issues that were raised there about and suggestions from the public about better participation, communication, etc., etc. And I think we must give some thought to what they've said. And that needs to be documented in terms of the proposals so it can be factored into our future performance plans. And maybe it won't be too late to bring it in 18-19. So that's the one thing. The second thing is the optimal utilization of the facilities that we have in Parliament. Now, for example, I know my NCOP members will kill me for this, but it's okay, many undertakers. I know of members that come in for five-minute meetings, that fly in from all over the country, just for a mandate, and so on and so forth. And sometimes they come here, the meeting is even postponed or cancelled, or there's no quorum. Now, we've got video. This is a room. We were once brought in here a few years ago, those of us who were here, and shown the wonderful video conferencing facilities. And we actually tried it out. Was it finance committee?
Yes,
because we were trying to save money. Now, I think we must be more creative with the use of these kinds of things, because surely you can video conference and get a mandate. You don't have to be physically there. And even with us as members of parliament and committees, we don't need 20 or 30 officials coming from some departments, which they like to do. They come there to enjoy the ride. We must make more use of technology and that kind of thing to save money for ourselves. It might be an initial outlay, but I think in the medium to long term we'll be saving money. So we've got to keep up with the times. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Menta.
Yes, Chair. Lord Chair, also in the very same vein of saving money and getting used to the new fourth industrial revolution, there is a Parliament app, you also spoke about it. And I think it will be much proper to load everything of Parliament in the Parliament app and not have printouts of, like, there is a magazine that you always dish out to the members. Yeah, we find it with a newspaper with it. There's a newspaper attached to it, packaged nicely in an envelope. That takes a lot of money. And I'll tell you, 80% of members don't even open it. Yeah, 80%. They don't even open it. So if you load that magazine, the newspaper, the works, on the lab, on the app, then you're cutting the costs. Because I can tell you, if you go to your costings of the printing, the packaging, the courier, it's a whole lot of money. And then secondly, I don't know, the skills development of your members and in terms of how you empower them. I don't know which key indicator they are.
and how do you make it, how are you going to make sure that you get more funds to empower your own members? Because also the vacancies that you have, can it can actually assist you to cut some of the vacancies and have more empowered people, more advanced people in terms of skills and technology.
Thanks for all those progressive proposals. Are there further hands? Is that none, co-chair?
It's just one observation from my side. You, I think it's change number three. You talk about improving the services to members, not necessarily by warm bodies, but by efficiency and new researches and so on. Now, I don't know about other members, but the cry that tears have had for a long time is the dearth of research capacity. Here, as things stand already, I am not sure how many researchers are dedicated to one committee. You find the researchers servicing two or three or four committees, and so on. So I don't understand when you say to us that your plan is to deliver it, and you think you're going to be able to do it without warm bodies. You know, I'm raising it because, you know, sometimes we put performances that are just not achievable. And the difficulty we have here as Acting Secretary is we've not asked the question how. You're saying to us you're going to optimize, you haven't said how. Mm-hmm. Then comes and says, maybe we must look at Fernwood and so on. Maybe going forward, when you make those proposals, you must be able to say to us, these are the things we're going to do, so that we can measure them every month or every week or every year. But on this one, I just think that you must explain to me how you're going to improve efficiency and not give me more warm bodies. I serve on at least three committees, and I can tell you I've got one researcher and one secretary that serves on all three. If I'd have three different researchers for the three committees or three different secretaries, you would say to me that you don't have the warm bodies to do that. So I'm just raising this with your change number three and asking the question, are you just giving it to us because you're giving it to us for compliance, or are you giving it to us because you think that you can really achieve what you're saying? Thanks, Chair.
So, do you want to respond to those? Over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me start by saying my colleagues will address the processes of the high-level panel. Advocate Pinella will talk to that. And indeed, Honourable Steynason, the Division on International Relations has to provide exactly the how that Chairperson is talking about to ensure that, at least amongst other things, there's production of analytical documents that are given to members before, and there's tracking of what happens thereafter. And so the Division of International Relations will do that. However, the element...
Chair, I just want to correct him before we continue. The level of service we get prior to our going is excellent. The documents that we are provided for are superb. They are world quality. I think I think you misunderstood me. I think what I was trying to say is that it would be nice if we left Parliament with a resolution of Parliament around some of the things we're going to discuss. But the International Relations Department, the quality of work out of there is world class.
Thank you very much for that affirmation, Honourable Member. Good to hear. Yeah. all right. So I can then move to the we agree with the enhancing stakeholder and really indeed taking out some of the ideas that came from the interaction between the presiding officers and the stakeholders 2 weeks, 2 days ago. Use of video conferences, indeed, we do have Chairperson, and we have to now activate where it works so that it works better and that works well. We will have to look at that. My Parliament app, ma'am, I think we don't have a magazine like that. Ours is electronic. We have insertion.
Yes.
Yeah. Not the one of GCI, it's the one that stays put on plastic and deliver, because ours we deliver. We will look into that, but we have an electronic one, which over time we're going to completely reduce the printing. On the overall, and through you, Jefferson, I think the areas that are being emphasized is that when we put things there, we should outline the how, so that we really start flagging the challenges, so we don't put documents that are ambitious and will never necessarily be fulfilled by ourselves. And I wish to take note of that. Then ask Advocate to speak to the processes of the high-level panel report.
Thank you, Acting Secretary and Co-Chairperson, honorable members. Honorable Stianazian has been very consistent on this matter. I attended one meeting yesterday where he raised this issue. I think even this morning at the Joint Programming Committee, it arose. And indeed, we shall look at the recommendations emanating from the high-level panel. We will see to what extent we can incorporate that in the current APP. Also look at how we can, in future, ensure that those recommendations are taken into consideration. Honorable Stianazian, it will also have an impact on the public participation model which was adopted yesterday. We shall look at all those details and ensure that, indeed, we take those recommendations into consideration and implement them. Thank you.
Thank you. Very much for those responses. It looks like we have concluded on this particular matter, at least in terms of issues that have been raised and responded to. I am advised that the next step in terms of the issues that have arisen here is that the report will be prepared and brought here for adoption by this committee, which means, therefore, we have come to the end of the discussion for now as far as the issue of the revised annual performance plan is concerned. Thank you once more, Acting Secretary, together with your colleagues, for being part of this meeting and for your presentations and the discussions that you have had with your good selves. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And you are duly excused from the meeting.
No overtime, you're clear.